Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Happening today, State Auditor Beth Wood is going to be appearing before a judge. Coming up, we'll tell you about the two new people charged involved in this case.
And it's a mild start this morning. You don't need your big, heavy coat this afternoon. The shorts and t-shirts will feel great. I'll show you when the clouds will break up and how fast we warm up.
Plus, breaking news we're following from overnight. The man charged in a shooting that left two Durham teenagers dead is now in jail. And we learn this as one possible connection to the victims has come to light. A lot of information out of that case this morning as we bring you in on a Thursday morning. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Starting off pretty foggy out there. I got some low-lying clouds over Dix Park, but it feels nice. It really does. I had the jacket on this morning. You don't really need a heavy jacket today.
No. And especially later. I mean, spring is in the air for sure, Elizabeth.
It doesn't necessarily feel like it or look like it right now because we do have some low clouds that have lingered across the area from yesterday. You know, it was a gray day yesterday with some isolated showers. You might run into just a little bit of mist out there this morning, but we will see sunshine starting to break out closer to lunchtime. 55 right now. We have a southwest wind at about 7 miles per hour. Watch some visibility. It has dropped down to a quarter of a mile in Clinton, and that's about the threshold for fog. Everywhere else, we're just seeing some low cloud cover, but it is feeling a bit gloomy out there currently. It's 57 in Fayetteville, 54 in Goldsboro, 55 in South Hill, and in Southern Pine. So we have a leg up on a warm afternoon. Our temperatures are running about 5 to a little over 10 degrees warmer than yesterday in some places. It will become breezy this afternoon. Our winds out at the southwest gusting at 20 to 25 miles per hour. That's going to help to push more warmth up into our area. We've got to get those clouds to break up first. That's likely to happen around lunchtime. When it does, our temperatures will climb quickly to around 80 degrees. Doesn't stop there. It will be even hotter tomorrow. I'll show you who has the chance to break some records coming up, Brian.
It is 8:02 right now, and we have confirmed with Highway Patrol that there apparently is some debris out on 540 westbound, right around Six Forks Road in that general area. We've seen the delays easing up a little bit, but still you're looking at about a four-minute delay overall from Lewisburg Road out to I-40. They say they're on their way to clear up that debris, so just be careful as you head through that area. You could see some police activity there on the right shoulder, or maybe even blocking some lanes, at least temporarily. Watch also for some congestion building on 440 westbound between 87 and Wade Avenue. We have the usual delays between 87 and Capitol, and then it slows down again as you approach Glenwood Avenue out toward Wade Avenue. About an 11-minute delay overall there on 440 westbound. Still tracking this crash over on the east side of Raleigh at Skycrest Drive at Andor Place. It's in the clearing stages, but we're still seeing some delays on westbound Skycrest heading away from New Bern Avenue back toward Trawick Road. South of Garner, still have a crash in the clearing stages on Old Stage Road at Rolling Farm Drive, which is just south of the 1010 Road intersection. Still seeing some northbound delays as you head through that area. Over in Durham, Chapel Hill and Hillsboro, the usual backups on 885 northbound, heading away from Cornwallis up through T.W. Alexander. Taking a look at the rest of Wake County, we're watching backups, of course, coming in from Johnston County on 40 westbound. About a six-minute delay right around the Clayton Bypass. You're looking good this morning on 64 westbound, heading out of Zebulon toward Knightdale. But then if you're continuing on 87 southbound through Knightdale, it's about a four-minute backup overall with a little congestion around the 540 interchange.
WRAL will be in court today. Estate Auditor Beth Wood faces a judge on hit-and-run charges. And there are also charges filed against two others linked to that crash. WRAL's Naya Harden is tracking these developments right now, joining us from the courthouse in Raleigh. Naya?
Well, today, this is where Beth Wood is going to be at the Wake County Justice Center for that misdemeanor that is connected to a charge for that crash that she had. Police say Wood crashed her state-owned car after a Christmas party in December. Now, two men have been charged in connection to the crash, 26-year-old Jonah Mendes and 29-year-old Ryan McGirt. Court documents say Mendes was a passenger in Wood's car. He's accused of failing to report the crash. McGirt is accused of getting Wood to another car and driving her away from the scene. WRAL News has reportedly asked Wood and her attorney if she had been drinking the night of the crash. They have not responded to that question. She is expected to appear in court this afternoon at 2 o'clock. Naya Harden, WRAL News in Raleigh.
And breaking news, the 18-year-old charged with shooting three teenagers in Durham was booked into jail overnight. Michael Grace drove the WRAL breaking news tracker to the Durham County Detention Facility. And Michael, he is expected to be in court today.
Yeah, that's correct. Jorge Benitez Mendoza is expected to see a judge later this morning. We're still working to find out when, but we do know he was booked here just after 10:30 last night. We're also learning from Durham Public Schools that he was last enrolled in June of 2022 as a ninth grader at Riverside High. That's the same high school as Angel Canales, who was one of the teens killed. The other teen killed was Osmar Benaiguez, a 13 who has not yet been identified, is in the hospital with life-threatening injuries. All three only 16 years old. Police say the shooting happened Tuesday night, but it took them hours to find the two teens who were killed near the woods near Brogdon Middle School. This makes at least 11 people under the age of 18 shot in Durham this year. The two killed yesterday are the youngest. Live in Durham, Michael Grace, WRAL News.
As Michael's reporting right there, this latest case makes at least 11 people under the age of 18 shot in Durham so far this year. City Council recently approved $1 million for violence interrupter programs. These programs are designed to stop the cycle of violence and retaliation through street outreach, conflict mediation, and social support. WRAL asked if they are making a difference.
They are effective, but nothing is effective enough when it's in isolation. So housing stability is a factor that plays a role in this. Job security is a factor that plays a role in this.
Durham County Commissioners also continued their portion of funding of more than $935,000 for violence interrupter programs.
And some more breaking news we're following this morning. One person suffered minor injuries in an overnight fire in Durham. That fire broke out just after 3 o'clock this morning at a home on Newhall Road. More than 30 Durham firefighters responded to the scene. The fire was in the kitchen and laundry room of the home. It took crews about 15 minutes to put it out. Luckily, everyone got out safely. The person who was hurt was treated and released. And there's just one more vote needed before Medicaid expansion reaches Governor Cooper's desk and is expected to happen today at the General Assembly. That's where you're looking live. The State House is set to give the bill final approval. Governor Cooper said that he will sign it into law. The multi-billion dollar program would bring health care coverage to hundreds of thousands more North Carolinians. Our state would be the 40th. To sign off on Medicaid expansion. Before it can take effect, though, state leaders will have to pass a new state budget.
The man accused of bringing a gun on campus of Clayton Middle School is due in court this morning. 21-year-old Ubaldo Perez faces a charge of possessing a weapon on education property. Police say he set off the school's weapons detection system while picking up his siblings yesterday afternoon. The system showed Perez was carrying a 9mm handgun. He told them he didn't realize he had it with him. School staff say there was no danger to students or staff.
A group working to make Orange County schools safer will work on making recommendations today. The 18-member School Safety Task Force is holding its second ever meeting. The group includes law enforcement officers, students, and representatives from the county's two school districts. It was created in response to a demonstration by members of the far-right group, the Proud Boys, who disrupted a school board meeting back in 2021.
A drug-resistant fungus is spreading across the U.S., and the number of cases is growing in North Carolina. WRAL has confirmed at least 5 reported cases in our state. This fungus is known as Candida auris. It spreads easily in healthcare settings and can be deadly in people who are already very sick. Doctors say healthy people are not at risk, high risk anyway. State leaders say they are working with healthcare facilities to stem its spread.
New rules take effect today for anyone going to Duke Health. You'll no longer need a mask to enter the main public areas of hospitals. That applies to patients and visitors. Keep in mind, though, masks are still required in patient rooms, exam rooms, and inpatient care units.
We are working to learn if charges will be coming after an explosive device was found in a Wake County mailbox. Deputies say it happened on Appaloosa Run near Raleigh. They say a small device inside the mailbox had already detonated by the time they got there. No one was hurt.
An outside firm is now investigating the Roanoke Rapids police chief and a captain. Officials say the firm is looking into accusations of policy violations. The city is not sharing what those violations could be at this time. Chief Bobby Martin and Captain Jamie Hardy were put on administrative leave after being interviewed during the investigation. The city expects to have a report on the findings by the end of the week.
10 minutes after 8 o'clock on your Thursday morning, TikTok CEO takes the stand today on Capitol Hill as lawmakers weigh a potential ban. How he plans to ease nerves about growing security concerns surrounding the popular app. Plus, caught on camera, a rare tornado strikes near Los Angeles. This morning, we have a look at the damage, and the National Weather Service explains why it didn't issue a warning.
We're stuck under the clouds this morning, but we'll see those clouds breaking up close to lunchtime, and temperatures will be warm all the way through the weekend. Saturday, though, will bring us some showers. I'll show you how to plan around those coming up. A13 on your Thursday morning. You were looking live over a cloudy Clinton. You're watching WREL News, available on YouTube TV and the WREL app on your TV or streaming device. It doesn't look like spring, but it feels like spring, and we're only going to get warmer later and into the mid to upper 80s tomorrow, Elizabeth. This is crazy.
It is. It especially feels crazy right now. It's on the cool side. I mean, it's definitely mild for this time of year, but we're in the mid 50s, and we're going to hold in the 50s until we see these clouds breaking up, which isn't going to happen until closer to lunchtime. So it's just going to feel, you know, a bit gray and gloomy to start the day. But then once we get into the afternoon, that sunshine appears, and boy, our temperatures are going to skyrocket. We've had a lot of low cloud cover this morning. You can see that here live in Goldsboro and Apex. Chapel Hill, definitely gray, and we're seeing gray skies here in Fayetteville too, where our newsroom is. Our satellite and radar shows the next system that arrives on Saturday, but between now and then it'll be nice and dry, and we will end up seeing some sunshine later today and for tomorrow. Saturday, this front approaches. We do have the potential for some isolated thunderstorms depending on what time it comes through. If it's out of here by the middle of the day, our chance for thunderstorms is a little lower. If it happens to slow down a little bit and the storms are in the afternoon, there may be enough energy in the atmosphere for some scattered thunderstorms. Here's a look at the big picture, the wide view with the potential for some showers and thunderstorms coming in ahead of our front, and then that front moves on by. Here's the big question. Is that front going to stall here, and are we going to see more rain riding along it on Sunday? This is Sunday at 5 o'clock, and you can see some showers, especially in our southern counties. This is a little earlier arrival of the rain. It is looking like we could see rain Sunday night into Monday, but will it come in before sunset? We're going to be watching out for that as we see more runs of the computer models. They're really not in very good agreement just yet. We take a look at our high resolution model for Saturday. I have high confidence in this. A little sunshine to start the day. We'll cloud up between 8 and 9 a.m. And then a band of rain comes through. Look at how puny that little band of rain is. So it's definitely not going to be a washout on Saturday. I would say we'll have a tenth of an inch or less with that moving through. And it may be out of here by lunchtime. And then potentially some gradual clearing during the afternoon. How much rainfall Saturday? Again, it may be, you know, a tenth of an inch or less. In some places, looking at maybe a couple of hundredths of an inch. A 40% chance. A lot of us will see that quick little line of showers. And then potentially late Sunday night, a small chance for rain. We'll be watching that closely. And then Monday looks a little on the wet side, and possibly into Tuesday as well. Our pollen count has started to go up since our temperatures have started to warm a little bit. But this time of year, a little bit of rain tends to help that out, because it won't be much rain Saturday. I'm not sure that it'll affect the pollen count that much. And certainly, if anything, our pollen count will be rising because our temperatures will be so warm. Now, next week, a different story with some showers Monday and Tuesday and cooler temperatures. Those pollen numbers may go down at least a little bit. Ryan?
New at 8:16, Elizabeth, we have a crash on the north side of Raleigh causing some pretty big delays. This is on Falls of Neuse Road, not too far from Durant Road down toward the 540 and Litchford Road area there. Seeing some heavy southbound delays on Falls of Neuse this morning. Need to allow plenty of extra time heading through there. Apparently, we have at least some lanes that are blocked with that crash. In Fuquay Varina, two crashes to tell you about. One on Judd Parkway, just to the east of Main Street, seeing some delays there, and getting reports of a crash involving a motorcycle on Main Street right around the northeast Judd Parkway intersection, not too far from Sunset Lake Road. Seeing some pretty heavy southbound delays starting to build through there as they work to clear that crash. Over on the east side of Raleigh, still have that crash reported at Skycrest at Andor Place. It's in the clearing stages, as is this crash south of Garner on Old Stage Road around Rolling Farm Drive. Our photographer just got up to 540 around the Six Forks Road area. Didn't see any significant slowdowns from that debris we heard about earlier. Not seeing any big delays through there. Watching traffic, though, on the northbound side of 885 in Durham from I-40 up through the TW Alexander Drive interchange, slowing down about a 4-minute delay overall as you head toward the 147 split.
And breaking economic news here in the WRAL Live Center from overseas. You see the headlines right here. The Bank of England raising interest rates again by 4.25 percentage points. This is coming one day after the Federal Reserve here in the U.S. made a similar move, raising interest rates by 0.25 point. Of course, this is all to help curb inflation. And like here in the U.S., the Bank of England is hoping this increase will help cool inflation. But just like here in the U.S., inflation is really sticking around in the U.K. This is a developing story that we'll continue to follow here in the WRAL Live Center.
All right. Thank you, Ken. After several years of booming home prices that pushed many people out of the housing market, new data shows house prices are declining for the first time in more than a decade. So what can first-time home buyers do to take advantage? In today's Consumer Watch, a look at three things one money coach recommends.
Good news for first-time homebuyers. House prices just ended a 10-year streak, marking the first monthly year-over-year price drop since 2012.
A lot of homebuyers or prospective homebuyers all across the country are really going to welcome this good news.
According to a new report from the National Association of Realtors, the median price of a U.S. home in February was $363,000. That's down 0.2% from the same month last year. Experts say the decline may be small, but it marks a turning point for the industry.
That's a welcome sign that perhaps all of the peak in the pricing, it's starting to bottom out a little bit.
The report coming in spring, the peak buying season, when buyers who have been sidelined by demand and soaring prices are motivated to make deals quickly. So what can you do if you're finally ready to buy? Money coach Lynette Kalfani-Cox has these three tips. One, line up the cash. Figure out which loan you qualify for, either a conventional mortgage or a government-insured loan like an FHA, and then calculate your down payment.
You can put down as little as 3 or 3.5% and still get in the home of your dreams. And that's good news to people who don't have, you know, a hefty amount of savings.
Number two, get your financial paperwork in order. Gather your tax returns, W-2s, and bank statements. And three, work on your credit score, which impacts the interest rate on your home loan. Check your credit report for any errors and pay off existing debt to boost your score.
That's a great opportunity for you to look really good on paper to a lender.
For Consumer Watch, I'm Shelley Malashi.
And another big factor on mortgage rates is the Federal Reserve's benchmark interest rate. On Wednesday, Fed Chairman Jerome Powell announced the Fed was raising the interest rate by 0.25 point.
TikTok CEO will testify in Congress today about the app's safety as lawmakers consider banning it in the U.S. Shaozi Chu will answer questions from the House Energy and Commerce Committee. He's expected to tell them the app's parent company, ByteDance, is not an agent of China. Lawmakers are concerned the app poses a threat to national security. Chu is expected to outline steps to firewall U.S. user data from unauthorized foreign access.
Dozens of TikTok content creators are in Washington protesting the potential ban of the app. At a rally yesterday, they joined three Democratic lawmakers who talk about how a ban would affect them and their millions of followers.
It's what I do, my 9-to-5. I've been able to not only have opportunities from the platform itself, but I've been able to do bigger things like, you know, commercial roles, acting roles, going to premieres because of TikTok.
President Biden's administration is not the first to consider a ban on TikTok. Former President Trump announced during his term that he would ban TikTok, but that never came to fruition.
Durham Public Schools is honoring its teachers today with its celebration of teacher excellence. 283 teachers who earned or renewed their national board certification last year will be recognized. The event gets underway at 5:30 at the Sheraton Imperial Hotel. National Weather Service is explaining why no warning was given before a tornado spun up near Los Angeles. It touched down in the suburb of Montebello yesterday morning. It tore parts of roofs off several buildings, industrial buildings there. The NWS says it spun up too quickly for meteorologists to detect it ahead of time. It is only the fourth tornado to touch down in Los Angeles County since 2007, so pretty rare. Some of the original actors behind the hit 90s series, The Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, are teaming up once again. Netflix released the new trailer for Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Once and Always. came out on Wednesday, and the trailer teams up with the original blue and black Power Rangers. It also explains the death of the original Yellow Ranger. Other actors who had roles in the popular franchise will also return for the reunion special. That special is set to premiere on Netflix April 19th, 30-year anniversary there.
My goodness. Yeah. Wow. Well, a McDonald's in Michigan is hosting an egg cracking contest to celebrate Agriculture Month. Ionia County is home to one of the largest egg producers in Michigan. Look at them go. In 2021, McDonald's brought 56 million dozen eggs from Michigan farmers and suppliers. A manager from the Stanton McDonald's north of Ionia is the winner of the egg cracking contest. They were, I guess, able to do as many as they can and the fastest, right?
I can one hand crack.
You can?
Well, yeah, but only with the dominant hand.
yeah.
Not two at once.
Not two. That's impressive.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
There's an old scam that is resurfacing in the Triangle, and you may have already been contacted about it. We have new details on where the accused scammer is calling from and what you can do to protect your personal information.
Plus, State Auditor Beth Wood is expected in court today in a hit-and-run charge. After the break, we break down the new developments in the case.
Listen to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good Thursday morning. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey with your top story. Starting out cloudy this morning, but we're going to warm up nicely. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner with a look over North Hills.
That's a gloomy look over North Hills, isn't it? We're seeing this everywhere. We had a little bit of fog showing up earlier this morning. Most of this is now just low cloud cover, but we are still looking at a quarter mile visibility in Clinton. These clouds are likely to break up closer to lunchtime, and when they do, our temperatures are going to climb really quickly. But we're starting off in the 50s, and we're going to hold it in the 50s for a while until those clouds start to break up. At the park this afternoon and evening, it's going to feel great with temperatures in the upper 70s to around 80, Brian.
Here at 827, we've got a crash on the north side of Raleigh on Falls of Neuse Road between Durant Road and 540, blocking some lanes out there. And we're seeing some very heavy delays heading away from Raven Ridge Road back down toward 540. If you're coming in from Wake Forest this morning, right now southbound Capitol Boulevard is in good shape. So that would be a good alternate route for you. Could save you quite a bit of time, maybe 10 minutes this morning. Also in Fuquay Varina, watch for a crash. This is involving a motorcycle on Main Street, not too far from Judd Parkway Northeast, which is up there around Sunset Lake Road. We are seeing some pretty heavy delays in both directions there on Main Street.
Thanks, Brian. WREL will be in court as State Auditor Beth Wood faces a judge today. This as charges are filed against two others linked to the hit and run that she's involved in. WREL has followed the story since December when police say Wood crashed her state-owned car after a Christmas party. And the 18-year-old charged with shooting three teenagers in Durham will appear before a judge today. Jorge Raul Benitez Mendoza was last enrolled as a ninth grader at Riverside High School in June. Two 16-year-olds were shot and killed on Tuesday. A third is in the hospital with life-threatening injuries. We'll have more traffic and weather and news on Fox 50.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
It's a mild start this morning with temperatures in the mid-50s, but we have a lot of cloud cover hanging around. I'll show you when the clouds will break and the temperatures start to climb.
Happening today, State Auditor Beth Wood is going to be appearing in front of a judge. Coming up, we'll tell you about the two new people involved in her case.
Plus, the man charged in a shooting that left two Durham teenagers dead is now in jail as we learn one possible connection to the victims. We have everything you need to know about that case in our 8:30 hour. Thanks for staying with us on Fox 50. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. We appreciate you making us part of your day as we get things started here. It's still pretty gray out there. We have some low-hanging clouds.
Yeah.
But the temperatures are the key. A little bit later today and for the rest of the week into the weekend, Elizabeth Gardner and the WRN Severe Weather Center, we are on the rise.
I don't know what we're going to do with these guys here in Pinehurst. Okay, they're out here on the golf course. It is gray. It's 55 degrees. And it's drizzly. See, we've got water showing up on the camera lens. Don't they know that if they give it just a few more hours, our clouds are going to break up and we're going to see temperatures in the 80s. So Yeah. All right. Southern Pines, we have 3/4 of a mile visibility, 1/4 mile in Clinton, and 1 mile for Durham and Raleigh. No sign of these clouds breaking up anytime in the next couple of hours, but by lunchtime, we should begin to see the clouds breaking up with a pretty afternoon in our forecast. Our temperatures currently are mainly in the mid-50s, which is anywhere from 5 to about 10 degrees warmer than yesterday. The winds will pick up this afternoon. We'll see a southwest wind gusting 20 to 25 miles per hour. That will help to break up the clouds. And boy, once those clouds break up, temperatures are going to really climb. We're going to hold it in the 50s until almost lunchtime, and then we're going to jump to 80 degrees with that sunshine this afternoon. It'll be even warmer tomorrow. I'll show you who could break some records coming up.
All right, thanks, Elizabeth. WREL will be in court as state auditor Beth Wood faces a judge today on hit and run charges. This as charges are filed against two others linked to that crash. WREL's Naya Harden is tracking these developments.
Today, Beth Wood is going to be appearing here at the Wake County Justice Center. Her hearing involves a misdemeanor charge connected to the crash. Police say Wood crashed her state-owned car after a Christmas party in December. Now, two men have been charged in connection to the crash, 26-year-old Jonah Mendes and 29-year-old Ryan McGirt. Court documents say Mendes was a passenger in Wood's car. He's accused of failing to report the crash, while McGirt is accused of getting Wood to another car and driving her away from the scene. WREL News has repeatedly asked Wood and her attorney if she had been drinking the night of the crash. They have not answered that question. She'll appear in court today at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Naya Harden, WREL News in Raleigh.
And breaking news we're following, WREL has learned the 18-year-old charged with shooting three teenagers in Durham was booked into jail overnight. The school district also confirmed before midnight that Jorge Raul Benitez Mendoza was last enrolled as a ninth grader at Riverside High School in June. Police say he shot and killed 16-year-old Angel Canales and Osmar Benegas. A third 16-year-old who was also shot is in the hospital with life-threatening injuries. All three of them were friends. Benegas went to Lakeview Secondary School. The other two went to Riverside High. As for Benitez Mendoza, he is in custody and charged with 2 counts of first-degree murder.
Breaking this morning, sources tell the NBC News affiliate in Denver that the student accused of carrying out a school shooting is dead. Those sources say 17-year-old Austin Lyle killed himself in a wooded area about 50 miles outside the city. He was wanted for attempted murder after the shooting at East High School yesterday morning. Police say administrators were searching for Lyle for weapons as part of a safety plan when he pulled a gun and shot two of them. One was taken into surgery for life-threatening injuries. The other was also seriously hurt. Classes at the school are canceled for the rest of the week.
The man accused of hitting and killing an 11-year-old girl during the Raleigh Christmas parade now faces charges of manslaughter. 20-year-old Landon Glass is already charged with misdemeanor death by motor vehicle, reckless driving, and more. A grand jury handed up the manslaughter charge Monday. Prosecutors say Glass lost control of his pickup during the parade back in November and hit Haley Brooks. She later died. Warrants show improper brakes caused the crash. Glass will appear in court March 29th.
There's just one more vote needed before Medicaid expansion reaches Governor Cooper's desk, and it's expected to happen today at the General Assembly. That's where you're looking live. The State House is set to give the bill final approval. Governor Cooper has said that he will sign it into law. The multi-billion dollar program would bring health care coverage to hundreds of thousands more North Carolinians. Our state would be the 40th to sign off on Medicaid expansion. Before it can take effect, though, state leaders will have to pass a new state budget. And President Biden, meanwhile, will mark another big health care milestone. He'll mark 13 years since the Affordable Care Act was signed into law with an event at the White House. That program included the Medicaid expansion that our state lawmakers are voting on right now. Recent research shows it has cut the number of uninsured Americans by more than half.
Breaking news this morning. One person suffered minor injuries in an overnight fire in Durham. The fire broke out just after 3 this morning at a home on Newhall Road. More than 30 Durham firefighters responded to the scene. The fire was in the kitchen and laundry room of the home. It took crews about 15 minutes to put it out, and everyone got out safely. The person who was hurt was treated and released.
As former President Donald Trump anticipates charges against him in a hush money case, he's facing a setback in a separate court battle. A federal appeals court just ruled that one of Trump's lawyers, Evan Corcoran, must turn over documents to a grand jury and testify as soon as tomorrow. That grand jury is investigating Trump's handling of classified material. Corcoran told the federal government last year there had been a diligent search for classified documents at Trump's Florida estate, but FBI agents later found hundreds of files there. And separately, we could find out today if an indictment will be filed against Trump. The grand jury investigated hush money payments made to adult film actress Stormy Daniels and did not end up meeting yesterday. Those proceedings are carried out in secret, so the timing on any charges is not clear. Trump had previously claimed, without evidence, he would be indicted on Tuesday.
A group working to make Orange County schools safer will be crafting its recommendations today. The 18-member School Safety Task Force is holding its second ever meeting. The group includes law enforcement officers, students, and representatives from the county's two school districts. It was created in response to a demonstration by members of the far-right group, the Proud Boys, who disrupted a school board meeting in 2021.
New rules take effect today for anyone going to Duke Health. You'll no longer need a mask to enter main public areas of hospitals, and that applies to patients and visitors. Keep in mind, though, masks are still required in patient rooms, exam rooms, and inpatient care units.
An effort to prevent dangerous encounters between people with autism and police could take a big step forward today. North Carolina House is set to vote on a bill to change driver's licenses. It would add a designation on the license for people with autism. The goal is to help officers better understand their interactions with drivers and avoid confrontations.
The final 16 for the men's NCAA tournament starts tonight, and this year's lineup is unusual. The defending champion Kansas is gone. In fact, none of the teams left have won any of the last seven national titles. None of our local teams are in the final 16, and only one is representing the ACC, the Miami Hurricanes. On the women's side, the last 16 matchups start tomorrow.
It's been nearly 2 years since a plane crashed in Tennessee, killing seven people, including an author and actor. What a new report from the NTSB is now revealing.
And TSA spreads out a new rule about peanut butter, why the agency is redefining science and labeling the item as liquid instead of solid.
And we take a break with this live look at Carolina Beach from our WRAL Live Cam Network. Warmer temperatures on the way today. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has a look at the forecast right after the break. Hey, 8:42 is the time right now on your Thursday morning. A live look right there. Rocky Mount Mills. Good morning to you and the same gray skies that we're seeing around much of the triangle. And Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center with a different look. Now, that wind could be able to kick some of this these low-level clouds out of here and clear it up.
It's definitely been a great start. We take a live look here at Wilson, the Whirligig Park. Boy, the winds are really light at the moment, but we are likely to start gusting 20 to 25 miles per hour later this afternoon. Those whirligigs will really get kicked up. Once the wind starts, it should help to dissipate the cloud cover a bit. And then once the sun comes out, we'll warm up nicely. We're also going to be seeing this flow coming out of the south. So it's going to deliver a lot of warm air for us this afternoon. Temperature in the mid-50s right now. We're going to hold it in the 50s until we start to see the clouds breaking up. And I still think we're several hours from that. So closer to lunchtime, we start to see the clouds breaking up and that warmth surging in. Right now it's 57 in Fayetteville, 55 in Rocky Mount and Wilson, 55 in Southern Pines, and 56 in South Hill. Here's a look at the winds as we get through the day. It's likely to pick up in intensity around lunchtime. We'll see steady winds, southwest 10 to 15, gusting 20 to 25. The next several days are going to be warm with this ushering in of the warm air, looking at 80 today, then 88 Friday. That's likely to be very close to a record high across pretty much the entire area. And then it stays warm on Saturday. We do have the chance of some rain. It looks like midday, a quick line of showers comes through. It's definitely not going to be a washout. And what a nice evening. We're going to see our skies clearing if you're headed out to the Hurricanes game this evening. A great evening for tailgating. Temperatures at 5 and 6 o'clock will be in the upper 70s as the game is ending. We're still in the upper 60s. Record warm warmth on the way for tomorrow. 88 degrees would tie the previous record in Raleigh set in 1929. We could break it in Fayetteville with 88 degrees because the previous record is 87. That flow coming out of the south is going to be pretty powerful for us over the next couple of days, and that's going to keep our temperatures warm. We'll continue to warm through the 80s, really all the way until the early part of next week. And then we see a front that comes through that's going to bring us some cooler temperatures. Interestingly enough, watch this front that dives southward during the day tomorrow. It's likely to land right near the Virginia line, and it could be that up around Roanoke Rapids, it turns a little bit cooler, but it's likely to pause right there at the Virginia line, and most of us who stay below that front will end up being quite warm. Now, next week, it's a slightly different story. We've been seeing a good chance of above normal temperatures, but now toward the end of next week and into the weekend, it looks like we'll have potentially normal temperatures. Our normal high this time of year is in the mid to upper 60s, so we'll say goodbye to the 80s for a little while. You know they'll be back. We have a chance of showers on Saturday. It should be short-lived. And then potentially late Sunday night into Monday and Tuesday, we get into a wetter pattern and our highs turn cooler into the 60s.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Nearly 2 years later, investigators are revealing the reason for a plane crash that killed seven people, including an author and an actor. The NTSB just revealed the pilot likely suffered spatial disorientation. That means the pilot probably got lost in the clouds, thinking the plane was going up when it was actually going down. It crashed into the water outside of Nashville back in 2021. The victims included Gwen Lara, the writer of The Way Down Diet, and her husband Joe, who played Tarzan in a 1990s TV series. Go Triangle is starting a conversation today about a rise in bus riders who are experiencing homelessness. The transit agency is holding a discussion from 8 to 10 this morning at the Go Triangle Plaza building in Durham. Leaders say they've seen more riders like this since Go Triangle ended fares during the pandemic. The goal of discussions like these is to address what's happening and support those who don't have a place to live.
Family possessions from the South Carolina hunting estate where Alex Murdoch's wife and son were killed are headed to auction in just a few hours. An auction house in Georgia will open the items up for bidding at noon today. Items on the auction block include hunting jackets, furniture, lamps, and many more items. The auction house says its social media accounts have been swamped with questions since it got the items last week. The owner says she is concerned about crowds today, but she will have security on hand to help keep things organized.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is changing his stance on Ukraine as speculation grows about a possible run for the Republican presidential nomination in 2024. In an interview that will air today, DeSantis branded Russian President Vladimir Putin a war criminal and said he was wrong to invade Ukraine. He had previously called the invasion a territorial dispute. DeSantis faced criticism from top Republicans for the comments.
The White House will reportedly disband the COVID-19 response team in May. The move would come as COVID public health emergency is set to expire May 11th. A White House official says, quote, COVID no longer disrupts our lives because of investments and our efforts to mitigate its worst impact. The team was created in February of 2020. And according to reports, National Coordinator Ashish Jha will likely leave the Biden administration.
Two more people have died from bacteria tied to recalled eye drops. The Urzicare and Delsym Pharma's artificial tear products were recalled over a potential bacterial contamination. Now a drug-resistant infection has caused three people to die, eight to lose vision, and four to have their eyeballs removed. The CDC says people who have used the products should seek medical attention if they show signs of an eye infection.
The search is on right now for a person who is running a scam impersonating Apex Police. Officers say they learned about this scam yesterday morning when a woman called on behalf of her elderly mother. She said her mother received a call from someone at the Apex Police Department identifying himself as Deputy Chief McKinney. The phone number the scammer was calling from matched Apex Police. The scammer said he was serving a warrant and directed the woman to withdraw a large sum of money, which she did. And she lost thousands of dollars.
It's brazen. And it's just showing, you know, how desperate individuals are getting to take advantage of some of our most vulnerable people in our communities. And that's the unfortunate part.
So here's a reminder that should set off some red flags. Police will never call you and ask you for money. They will show up and serve warrants directly, though. All right, what could be better than ice cream on a warm spring day? It's free ice cream, of course. WRAL smart shopper Faye Prosser here now with details on a free cone day that is coming up very soon. Faye, good morning.
Good morning, Jeff. And that's right, we've got more free ice cream for you this week. So you can score some free Ben and Jerry's ice cream. Score a free cone on Monday, April the 3rd. The offer is valid from 12 noon to 8 p.m. at participating locations. And you can pick any flavor your heart desires and no coupon is required. You can see all the details over on the Smart Shopper page.
Oh, as we see all these produce deals and everything going on in grocery stores as well. I can't get past the ice cream usually, but at a certain point, I got to go to the grocery, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And of course, I got some great deals for you this week, as always. For instance, in the produce aisle, you'll find Haas avocados, only 49 cents each at Aldi, green bell peppers, two for a dollar at Food Lion, white mushrooms, only 99 cents per package at Lowe's Foods. And in the meat aisle, tons of great deals like chicken wings in a mega pack, only $1.99 at Aldi. Food Lion chicken drumsticks or thighs family pack, only 99 cents per pound at Food Lion. 80% lean ground chuck, $2.99 a pound at Food Lion. Harris Teeter bacon, 12 ounce, only $2.99. Chicken drumsticks in a 10-pound bag, only 79 cents a pound at Lidl. And Lowe's Foods split chicken breast in a family pack, 99 cents a pound. And in other aisles, you'll find Carlini vegetable oil in a 48-ounce container, only $2.59 at Aldi. And for those Friday pizza nights, Red Baron pizza, $2.97 each for EVIC members over at Harris Teeter. And as always, you can see a list with all the top grocery store deals over on the Smart Shopper column.
Yeah, pretty simple. Just go to WRL.com, look for the consumer tab, search Smart Shopper. You get all those deals and all the inside information from Faye Prosser. Thank you so much, Faye.
Thanks, Jeff.
The TSA is issuing the final verdict on whether peanut butter is a solid or a liquid. The agency says it's a liquid. The debate gained steam on social media after a passenger unsuccessfully tried to take a jar of peanut butter through airport security. The TSA says, quote, liquid has no definite shape and takes a shape dictated by its container. Online, many people disagree and are questioning the scientific merit of the argument. What is it, Jeff?
It's whatever the TSA says
it is,
I suppose, right?
Yeah.
Drinking coffee could help you meet your fitness goals. A new study found coffee has major effects on physical activity levels. People who drink coffee take an extra 1,000 steps per day. Not all good news here, though. People lost about 36 minutes of sleep on days when they drank coffee.
I still drink it. I can't go without it. Well, we're expecting a big announcement this afternoon about the future of St. Augustine's University's football program. St. Aug is planning to share who will take over the program as head coach at 2 o'clock today. The university says its pick is no stranger to the Triangle and played for UNC in the 1980s as well as the NFL. Former head coach David Bowser resigned earlier this year without giving an exact reason. We'll be watching today's announcement and bring you any updates.
One of the most well-known muscle cars is about to be discontinued. General Motors just announced it will retire its Chevy Camaro models next year. The move comes as GM switches to an all-electric lineup. To mark the end of the Camaro's production, the company will release a collector's edition package that pays tribute to the model's first generation, dating back to the 1960s. Experts say if the Camaro comes back, it will likely be as an electric vehicle.
Well, drivers could be facing another summer of high gas prices. Analysts say fuel stockpiles are nearing multi-year lows. Last June, the national average gas price reached a record high of $5.02. Russia's invasion of Ukraine and the easing of pandemic restrictions were key reasons for the increase in crude oil prices. And before we head to break, here's a look at your winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.